77 WABC and Bergen Newbridge Medical Center honor the life of legendary broadcaster and our friend, Ernie Anastas.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130 for an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
Some follow the noise. Bloomberg follows the money. Because behind every headline is a bottom line. Whether it's the funds fueling AI or crypto's trillion-dollar swings, there's a money side to every story. And when you see the money side, you understand what others miss. Get the money side of the story. Subscribe now at Bloomberg.com.
Yes, that's me. Good morning. It is Friday, March 6th. The year forecast from the 77 WABC Weather Center. Cloudy day on the way, the high 43. And the weekend, it looks like this. Saturday, clouds hang around, high 48. Sunday, the better day, cloudy, high 64. If you're walking out the door with us right now, 34 cloudy in Haverstraw up in Rockland County, 37 and cloudy in Lambertville over in New Jersey, and it's 36 and cloudy right outside our Midtown studios.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
It was another night of attacks on Iran. A troubling chemical shows up in produce tested on Long Island. Father and son arsonists arrested in Queens. Why did cops turn into DoorDash drivers in New Jersey? And maybe you can help a 95-year-old New Yorker search for his missing wedding ring. All right, let's get into it. At 5:01, massive explosions hit several locations, Tehran overnight, including residential areas. And the vicinity of Tehran University, as the war enters its seventh day, Israeli jets bomb southern and eastern Lebanon towns, including in the Bekaa Valley, as well as targeting the southern suburbs of Beirut. President Trump said Iran is being demolished ahead of schedule and at levels that people have never seen before, claiming that the country has no air force, no air defense, and the air force, they say, he says, is completely gone.
We're destroying more of Iran's missiles and drone capability every single hour, knocking them out like nobody thought was possible.
President says the administration working to keep oil prices down. That is, they've been surging the last couple of days.
And they're calling. They're saying, how do we make a deal? I said, you're being a little bit late. And we want to fight now more than they do.
He says he claims the Iranians have been calling to make that deal.
The United States will ensure that whoever leads the country next, Iran, will not threaten America or its neighbors, Israel, anybody.
Yeah, so the president yesterday saying he should be involved in choosing Iran's next supreme leader.
We also urge Iranian diplomats around the world to request asylum and to help us shape a new and better Iran with great potential. It's a country with great potential. It's much better future for Iran. It's now beginning. It's going to be, I think, a great future.
The president ruling out Khomeini's son, who's the front runner right now to replace his father, the Khomeini Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. He was killed in those opening strikes of the war on Saturday. The president's comments to the American news website Axios were likely to renew questions about whether the U.S. and Israel seek to overthrow the republic or just a change in policies, as the conflict seems at least open-ended at this point. We don't know when it's going to end. The war secretary, though, Pete Hegseth, is saying he is hoping this is a short conflict, and he says Iran should take the U.S. seriously about what they're doing here.
Our commitment to our mission objectives only increases as our advantages continue to increase.
The war secretary saying the U.S. has taken out the better part of Iran's navy, ballistic sites, have dominance over airspace now.
We've got no shortage of munitions. Our stockpiles of defensive and offensive weapons allow us to sustain this campaign as long as we need to.
The amount of firepower over Iran and over Tehran is about to surge dramatically. And nothing could be further from the truth. If anything, what Iran is doing by targeting allied countries that would otherwise want to stay out of this, they've actually pulled them into the American orbit. So now you've got UAE and Qatar and Bahrain and Saudi and Kuwait and others saying, hey, we're with you.
Yeah, some of those hit countries hit yesterday. CENTCOM, the commander, Admiral Brad Cooper, says the U.S. is not targeting civilians.
We're targeting the headquarters and the people who are targeting the protesters, you know, first and foremost.
And late yesterday, Cooper previewed what's next for Iran.
And so as we transition to the next phase of this operation, we will systemically dismantle Iran's missile production capability for the future, and that's absolutely in progress. This is going to take some time, but our forces are well supplied.
Iran's foreign minister says his country is confident it can counter any potential ground invasion, and he believes the operation has been a failure for the U.S. so far. He spoke to NBC yesterday.
It is clear that the U.S. Has failed to achieve its main goal, which was clean, rapid victory. And now they are trying to justify why they did attack us. And they have, you know, presented so many different reasons, but none of them worked.
Now, the foreign minister says the regime, his regime, is moving forward, that they haven't knocked them out completely.
And the supreme leader is going to be replaced soon, according to the procedures set by the Constitution. So everything is in order.
Yesterday down in Washington, the House voted down that war powers resolution that would have limited President Trump from carrying out any further military action in Iran.
On this vote, the yeas are 212, the nays are 219. The concurrent resolution is not adopted.
That vote yesterday mostly down party lines, with Democrats voting for it, Republicans against it. It comes after the Senate declined a similar resolution on Wednesday. The effort largely seen as symbolic because President Trump would likely veto the measure if it made it to him. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he claims the U.S. is not at war with Iran and has no intention of being at war, but they're just making sure things are done right there.
This is a limited operation. It's an operation that's limited in its scope and duration. It has a very clear mission, and that mission is nearly accomplished by all estimates.
All right, so let's hear some numbers we've been hearing overnight. At least 1,332 people have been killed in Iran. This is according to the semi-official Fars News Agency that reports two schools were hit by missiles during the attacks during the first 6 days of this war. Israeli media is reporting this morning that Iranian missiles hit Ben Gurion Airport, but we couldn't get any 100% confirmation on that, but the Israeli media is the one that's reporting that. Estimates released by the Center for Strategic in International Studies puts the cost of the first 100 hours of Operation Epic Fury at $3.7 billion. Now, you know, I don't know how they come up with this number, but it's just interesting, which would work out to $891 million a day. Thousands of Americans still remain stranded throughout the Middle East as this epic fury continues. The president says they're working to bring everybody home, but you have people just stuck everywhere, like in Dubai. This is Shanali Patel. She's from New Jersey. She says it has not been easy.
We've tried calling the embassy. We've tried calling the U.S. government, but how can we get out if no one's helping us?
Now, we did see some planes coming into the tri-state yesterday, Kennedy, Newark, with people who were getting out of the Middle East, but it hasn't been big numbers. The White House says some charter flights are taking off from affected countries, but then we keep hearing from people who are saying they're having a hard time getting in touch with the State Department.
We're American citizens, and we would expect America to help us.
I never thought in my life that I would be in a war zone.
Yeah. Correspondent Keir Simons, he talked with Cody Green, who didn't get any help in finally booking a flight home to Florida from Dubai yesterday.
Are you anxious flying through all this?
A little part of me is, yeah.
Geez, I would be.
How insecure the area kind of is with all the stuff flying through the place.
I would be anxious about that as well. WABC News Time 5:10. Gas prices going up across the U.S. since the start of the military operation in Iran. I noticed this yesterday when I actually had to fill up my gas tank. It was a little bit more, about maybe 25 cents more a gallon since the last time I went in. AAA reports the national average jumped nearly 27 cents since the weekend. Bob McNally is with Rapperton Energy. He says it all centers around that sea traffic in the Strait of Hormuz grinding to a halt.
If we don't see the Strait of Hormuz opening to commercial traffic, I'm afraid we're only at the beginning of the price increases and they'll go much higher.
The president said the U.S. Navy would escort tankers through the Strait of Hormuz if needed. Politico reports the Trump administration's considering a temporary holiday on a gasoline tax to ease some of the prices.
Even if things turn out well, I still think, unfortunately, those average pump prices are going to head up to around $3.40 a gallon.
Yeah, that's too bad because we've been enjoying gas that's been under $3 for a while now. And Kalshi is facing some pushback now over its handling of trades related to the ousting of Iran's supreme leader.
According to Kalshi's market rules listed on the site, if Khamenei died, the market would be resolved based on the last price before his death. And if there's a question about this price, a review committee is tasked with determining a fair market value. The company's CEO shared a post on X echoing the rules, explaining, "We don't list markets directly tied to death." So Kalshi is reimbursing all fees from that market, as well as the cost of entry for those who placed bets after Khamenei died. James Flippin for 77 WABC News.
That's awfully interesting. 5:11, let's go down to Washington. Big day there at the Homeland Security. Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen found out he has been selected as the new Homeland Security Secretary shortly before President Trump announced the news. He made the comment to reporters. This was outside the Capitol yesterday afternoon.
No, the president, I still got to communicate, so we'll talk about it moving forward. But I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, he seemed a little surprised. I can't imagine he was. But meanwhile, Kristi Noem touted her achievements while speaking at a conference in Nashville yesterday, shortly after the president broke the news of her firing. She went through the number of dangerous criminals her department got off the streets, her other accomplishments.
Even in Memphis, where we saw different leadership, we had different parties in the governorship and in the mayor, we still were able to arrest and bring to justice over 2,600 criminals, and in a way that significantly dropped their crime rate.
Yeah, but in a post on Truth Social, the president said Mullen will replace her at the end of the month. The president said Noem had served the U.S. well, but become the special envoy for the Shield of Americas, which is this new initiative in the Western Hemisphere that's set to be announced come tomorrow. Mark Wayne Mullen, by the way, he's a former MMA fighter. Did you know that? He was talking again a little bit about how he's now super excited to have this new gig.
I've got to be honest with you, I wasn't expecting the call today, but super excited. And I'm more excited about just ready to get started. There's a lot of work we can do to get Department of Homeland Security working.
By the way, he was a pretty good MMA fighter in his time anyway. 5:13, let's bring it back here to New York. New York, 23 other states suing to block President Trump's new tariffs just weeks after the Supreme Court found his previous levies illegal. Attorney General Letitia James, she's leading the charge. She says this latest attempt is nothing more than an effort to sidestep the Supreme Court and impose tariffs that the president, she says, does not have the authority to do.
Just weeks ago, the Supreme Court rejected the administration's attempt to impose sweeping tariffs without proper authority. And now the president has chosen a different route to accomplish the same unlawful, illegal, an unconstitutional goal.
James says the president's driving up costs for consumers, companies, states, creating, she says, economic chaos. Other district attorneys from across the country joining her in this effort, including Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield.
The Federal Reserve Bank of New York issued a report concluding that Americans, not foreign countries or companies, are paying for 87% of his unlawful tariffs.
Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays, also part of this effort.
These tariffs are unlawful. They are harmful, and we are going to stop them again.
While we're talking business news, the NASDAQ yesterday opened its new Texas exchange in the special bell ringing ceremony. It was at the Alamo. It was the 190th anniversary of that famous Texan defeat at the hands of the Mexican army. Rachel Race is leading the NASDAQ team in the Lone Star State.
This place matters. It represents what Texans value above everything else, independence and liberty.
It doesn't sound right to say NASDAQ Texas, does it? NASDAQ Texas allows publicly traded companies to align with Texas corporate rules while accessing NASDAQ's trading platform and investor base. Already, more than 200 Texas-based companies are listed on the NASDAQ. 5:15, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Justin Ellick has had the whole week off. Thank God he's back on Monday after a nice long vacation. In his stead this morning is Rob Buska,
Baseball's version of the Olympics kicks off in full on Friday, the World Baseball Classic. Team USA, the Dominican Republic, and Japan is considered the favorites. The Americans, led by MVP Aaron Judge, even he's impressed with the talent in the clubhouse.
I don't get the job done. You know, I know I got Schwarbs and Cal right behind me to finish it up and so on and so on. So I think just us feeding off each other, not trying to just be the one guy that goes up there and does the job. It's like, hey, let's lean into each other. And, you know, as a team, we're gonna take care of business.
Team USA plays Brazil at 8 Eastern. Spring training, the Padres just scored again. Literally, I know it's the spring, but come on, Mariners. 27-6. Pods wrapped out 28 hits and sent Luis Castillo to an 0-2 spring record with an Ernie of 27. NBA Spurs blew out the Pistons in San Antonio. Dubs minus Steph Curry grounded the Rockets in Houston in overtime. NHL wins for the Rangers and Sabres. And speaking of Houston's, the Texans pay defensive end Daniel Hunter, 1 year, $40 million. That's sports. I'm Rob Wishka.
The Nets, they were once again blown out by the Heat in Miami. Michael Porter Jr. led all scorers. 27 points to go along with the game-high 13 rebounds for Brooklyn. The Nets will look to snap that 10-game losing streak when they take on the Pistons in Detroit tomorrow. As you heard, the Knicks on that 5-game road trip in New York will be in Denver to take on the Nuggets. Knicks topped Denver in double overtime last month at the Garden. Rangers took apart the Maple Leafs 6-2 at the Garden. The Blue Shirts visit the Devils tomorrow. The Islanders have now dropped the first two games of their road trip, losing to the Kings 5-3 in Los Angeles last night. New York continues its 4-game road trip when they visit the San Jose Sharks tomorrow. New Jersey, And spring training baseball, the Yankees were destroyed by the Twins 15-0 in 7 innings from Tampa. The Mets, they lost to the Nationals 7-4 in West Palm. And that's your sports. WABC News Time 519. Texas Republican Tony Gonzalez has admitted he had an affair with a former staffer who later died by suicide. He spoke about it, the affair, on the Joe Pags podcast yesterday.
I made a mistake, and I had a lapse in judgment, and there was a lack of faith. And I take full responsibility for those actions.
The congressman says he has since reconciled with his wife. He's asked God to forgive him, which he says he has. Multiple outlets released text messages that Gonzalez sent to Regina Avias back in 2024, including one where he asked for a sexy picture, to which she replied, "This is going too far, boss."
I've asked God to forgive me, which he has. And my faith is as strong as ever.
Now, the congressman yesterday asked about the investigations, the congressional investigations into him.
I look forward to the ethics committee starting an investigation. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to provide all the facts and all the details.
Avias died in September last year after she set herself on fire. Since the release of the messages, Gonzalez has faced a lot of calls to resign from both sides of the aisle, by the way. In the House Ethics Committee has announced an investigation into whether he engaged in sexual misconduct with an employee. While we're down in Texas, police in Austin releasing body cam footage from last weekend's mass shooting. It shows multiple officers racing to the scene, opening fire on the gunman, and then killing him.
Everybody down! 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 Where is he?
Now, two victims died at the scene. A third was taken off life support on Monday. A total of 19 people were hit by gunfire when this gunman opened fire with an AR-15 outside a bar in Austin's 6th Street District around 2 in the morning Sunday. The gunman was 53-year-old naturalized U.S. citizen who was born in Senegal.
I walk into our PIO office and people are in tears and they're listening to these things, and it is hard and it's challenging. This devastation just doesn't affect the community, and my goodness, I don't think any of us can imagine what these families are going through right now, the suffering that they are dealing with, but our hearts are with them.
Police still unsure about a motive, but images from the scene show the gunman wearing a hoodie with the words "Property of Allah" and an Iranian flag on his undershirt. Austin Police Chief Lisa Davis says police had no previous contact with him. The investigation, they say, continues. 522, a civil rights leader known for his role in the 1965 voting rights campaign campaign in Selma has passed away.
The Reverend Bernard Lafayette died Thursday at the age of 85. His son said a heart attack was to blame. Lafayette was born in Florida and went on to attend Nashville's American Baptist College, where he roomed with another future giant in the civil rights movement, the late Congressman John Lewis. His death comes as thousands of people in Selma are taking part in events this week, marking the 61st anniversary of the march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, Bloody Sunday, as it's now known. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The small town of Daniel, Wyoming, getting a lot of attention, unwanted attention, after a man there was tortured and killed, or I should say, after a man tortured and killed a wolf there.
44-year-old Cody Roberts struck the animal repeatedly with a snowmobile until it was barely conscious in 2024. Then he taped the animal's muzzle shut and brought it into a bar where he posed for pictures and videos with the severely injured canine and paraded it around while it limped around dying. Shortly after a video was taken, he picked the wolf up, walked outside, and shot it. Roberts pleaded guilty to felony animal.
Not sure where the rest of that story went. Today's show anchor Savannah Guthrie, she visited the NBC morning show's set yesterday as the investigation into her 84-year-old mother's disappearance stretched into day 32. Savannah Guthrie, the statement said, stopped by the studio yesterday morning to be with her, to thank her Today colleagues. That's what a spokesman from the Today show says. Now, the word was that she was not going to come back to the Today show, but now the NBC is saying that she plans to return to the show at some point. But right now, of course, she remains focused on supporting her family and working to help bring her mom, Nancy, home. Nancy Guthrie reported missing back on February 1 after she did not show up at a friend's home in Tucson to watch an online church service. She was last seen the previous night, 9:45 at night, having dinner at her daughter Annie Guthrie's home. Authorities have described the case as a possible kidnapping or abduction, but clues have been scarce. The Guthrie family has offered that $1 million reward for information that leads to Nancy Guthrie's recovery. 524, Google announcing a sweeping change to its App Store practices now.
The tech giant said it would now enable mobile app developers to use their own billing systems alongside Google Play's and allow them to direct users to their own websites for purchases. The company is also making it easier for users to download and install third-party app stores on their Android devices. Google's policy overhaul will settle the company's years-long legal fight with Epic Games and bring back the popular game Fortnite to the company's App Store worldwide. I'm Matt Mattinson.
524, Britney Spears in legal trouble again after allegedly driving under the influence in California yesterday.
Spears was arrested Wednesday night in Ventura County but has since been released. TMZ reports she was taken to the hospital after being pulled over so police could draw her blood. Her manager told the outlet that the incident is completely inexcusable and Spears will take the right steps in what is a long overdue change she needs in her life. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A house well known to generation of TV lovers is now a historic landmark. Correspondent Stephanie Goss explains.
The Los Angeles City Council has declared the Brady Bunch House an official cultural monument in a unanimous vote Wednesday. The status means the house in the San Fernando Valley is protected from demolition.
Now, that house was built in 1959. It was only used for exterior shots of the popular sitcom, which ran for 6 seasons, and was actually shot on the soundstage of the TV show itself. But somebody bought this house, and they renovated it. And you'll remember, you might not remember, but there was a very Brady renovation, which was an HGTV show that was incredibly popular. They brought back the cast to remodel the interior to match exactly what was seen on the show. And then a woman came in. Her name is Tina Trahan. She bought the house. And apparently, when you take a tour of this place, it looks, the interior of this house, it looks exactly like the set did, which not only freaked out the cast members, but now there's tourists who want to see it, but it's in the middle of this neighborhood. It's a little complicated to get a tour.
The truth is, the show was actually shot on a soundstage, and the exteriors of the house were just used to establish scenes. But that didn't stop a bidding war in 2018, with HGTV buying the ranch for $3.5 million.
Yeah, but then this woman came in and bought the house from HGTV and then spent a load of money to make it look exactly like the Brady Bunch house. The issue is it's in the middle of a neighborhood, and neighbors don't want tourists coming by, so they're trying to figure out exactly what to do with the house.
Did you know that St. Luke's University Health Network, based in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, has been recognized by the U.S. government as the highest performing health system in the United States for quality? You heard right. St. Luke's number one recognition affirms our status as the top leader among the most respected healthcare providers in the nation, including Houston Methodist and the Mayo Clinic. To state it simply, if you want to receive the best care when you go to a hospital, come to St. Luke's.
When it comes to weight loss, you don't need more advice. You need more of what works. That's Weight Watchers, with real tools designed to take the guesswork out of what to eat, how to move, and how to build habits that actually last. That's why Weight Watchers members lose more weight. Real people, real results. Weight Watchers Core Plus. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. In a six-month clinical trial of over 370 people, those using Weight Watchers saw significantly better results than those following standard nutritional advice alone. See the 2025 study published in the AJCN.